Please be advised, some of this audio contains profanity.
From NPR Music, I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Garzd. This is Alt Latino. It's Black History Month, and all of February, we've been bringing you shows about Latinos' African heritage. And Felix, you know, I think you'll agree with me. The one thing that has been challenging is that we kind of always do this. Pretty much every show we do on Alt Latino talks about our African heritage.
Today, we're going to talk about the influence of U.S. hip-hop on Latin America.
And what you're listening to right now is Conquista by just one of my favorite Mexican rappers. His name is Boca Floja. And he's going to help us tell the story of how U.S. hip-hop influenced Spanish language hip-hop and changed Latin American music.
Also joining us today from Berkeley, California, is Juan Data, who is a music blogger and a longtime friend of the show. And one of his specialties is Latin hip-hop.
And you forgot to say he's a fellow Argentine.
Oh, okay. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thank you.
Okay, so we're starting with your song, Conquista. Boca Floja, why don't you tell us a little bit about the song?
Yeah, the song is talking about, it's like a historical revision of colonialism. And it's talking about identity issues and in a sense of self-determination, basically.
And I gotta say, you have one of the coolest rapper names of I've ever heard, Boca Floja, which means loose mouth. How did you come up with that?
When I was starting rapping, I think it came through one of my early recordings, like one of my old songs, I guess, and I ended up using it. That's it.
Boca Floja, I love it.
Thanks.
So, Juan, take us, let's go, as Felix would say, let's go in the way back machine. Juan, you and I have talked about how hip-hop made it to Latin America.
Yes.
And one of the things you told me is that first it made it to the Latino community in the U.S.
Hip-hop, when it started in New York, in the Bronx, in the mid-70s, it was a mix, a culturally mixed thing. It was like a lot of Puerto Ricans and generally Latinos that were living in the Bronx were involved in it, especially like in the breakdancing and graffiti parts of the culture. But musically, it took a while to Latinos to start trying to rap in Spanish, and it took even longer a while to get them to kind of like cross over into the mainstream as doing rap in Spanish or Spanglish. And that didn't happen in the United States until the late 80s, I would say, when artists like Melo Manes or Kid Frost and that kind of like artists started like mixing in Spanglish lyrics or Spanish lyrics, but they were like still at a very basic level of uses of Spanish in the lyrics writing.
You actually brought a song by Mellow Man Ace, Mentirosa, Liar,
Yeah, that's, I think that song, it's like a stereotypical of that time. I think it came out in 88 or 89, and it's a symbolic of like one of the first songs, the crossover, like kind of like a little bit of a mainstream status in the United States.
Check this out, baby. Tenemos tremendo lío. Last night you didn't go a la casa de tu tío. Resulta ser, hey, you were at a party higher than the sky, emborrachada de Bacardi.
No, I wasn't.
I bet you didn't know que conocía el cantinero.
What?
He told me you were drinking and wasting my dinero. Talking about come and enjoy what a woman gives a hombre.
But first of all, I have to know your nombre.
Now I really wanna ask ya, que si es verdad.
Would I lie?
And please, por favor, tell me la verdad, because I really need to know. Yeah, necesito entender if you're gonna be a player or be my mujer. Cause right now you're just a liar, a straight mentirosa.
Ooh, me?
Today you tell me something y mañana es otra cosa.
Ain't that nobody, baby?
If you listen to that song today compared to what rappers are doing with the Spanish language today, it's like super, super basic. And that's when I wanted to play that song, to show us a contrast of like how rap in Spanish has evolved so much from then till now.
Quería tu dirección, yeah, just your address. Y antes que colgaste, I heard you say, ay, alabao, que descara, is what ran through my mind. So I said, let's go out tonight. She said,
we go out all the time.
Alabao, man. Ella no sabía de yo. I knew her plan, de que iba a salir with that other man. So I told the girl in Spanish, I said, hey, ya me voy, cause you ain't treating me like I'm some sucker toy. Cause who needs ya anyway?
I need you.
Multilingua, ven en osa.
Today
you tell me something, y mañana otra cosa, mentirosa.
You know, something that I've talked to Juan about is Spanish. For a lot of Latino communities in the U.S., you know, you learn Spanish maybe from your parents, maybe from your grandparents, and I think you can really hear that type of Spanish in songs like these, right, Juan?
Yes, definitely. Like, you can tell that it's kind of like limited access to Spanish that the artist has at the time of writing those lyrics. We're talking about guys who probably grew up in the United States, and like you say, they learned Spanish from their parents or from listening to their grandparents, and they never actually studied or read books in Spanish, so they have a very limited vocabulary. So when they try to write rhymes, they're like very basic rhyme structures and very predictable kind of rhymes. And that was okay for the time, and for a long time, people thought that was okay. That's the way rap should be in Spanish, and it remained like that for throughout most of the 90s, and until like people started like finding a way to trick the language and use like bigger words with more syllables and like trying to make it more complex and more intelligent, if you may, and like it became a lot more elaborate, and to the point of like what we listen to now. Like when you listen to Boca Floja's lyrics, for example, they're like, you know, like years of like, there's like such humongous difference in complexity and in his lyrics compared to what like Melomanes or Kid Frost or those guys were doing like some the 10-15 years before.
And Boca Floja, you're from Mexico, so you know, being so close to the U.S., there's a lot of cultural trickle down. Was there a moment when you were growing up in Mexico, like a song that you heard that just changed your world, that you were like, what is this? I've got to get involved in this.
1992, I guess, when I listened to the Chronic album from Dr. Dre, that was the point where I was totally aware that it was more than just an expression and just more than music. It became a culture that I wanted to do a little research and be part of. So I think that was like the crucial point, even when I was listening to rap music from the late 80s.
And you brought in a song called Let Me Ride by Dr. Dre. It's from The Chronic. I think we should listen to
that.
to set the mood for early 90s. And before we listen to that, I do want to tell listeners that NPR has this awesome project. It's called Microphone Check. And it, basically, they do hip-hop all the time. And it's just, it's a great project. And in fact, they have a whole project dedicated to 1993 and what a pivotal year that was for hip-hop. It was kind of the year in which everyone was like, it exploded. And you guys should check that out. But let's listen to Let Me Ride by Dr. Dre.
So what, Andrea? Tell me what the fuck I'm going on.
Creeping down the back street on D's. I got my Glock cocked, cause niggas want these. No sooner as I said it, seems I got sweated by some nigga with a Tech 9 trying to take mine. You wanna make noise, make noise. I make a phone call, my niggas coming like the Gotti boys. Bodies being found on Greenleaf with the fucking heads cut off. Motherfucker, I'm Dre. So listen to the play-by-play, day-by-day. Rolling in my phone with 16 switches. And got sounds for the bitches, cocking all the riches. Got the hollow points for the snitches. So won't you just walk on by, cause I'm too hard to lift. And know this ain't Aerosmith, it's the motherfucking D.R.E. from the CPT. On a rhyming spree, a straight G. Hop back as I pop my top, you trip. I let the hollow points commence to pop, 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 yeah. Cause if it don't stop, I have to put my shit in reverse. Go back and take another spot, cause I'm rolling in my 6-4. With all the niggas saying, hell yeah.
Boca Floja, when I remember going back to 93, and like I said, I wasn't paying complete attention, but I knew that something was happening. It began to spread out in, amongst people, and amongst specifically people that I, whose opinion I respected, and then I started to pay attention to it. What was it like down in Mexico? I mean, how did the rest of society absorb that? You know, your parents, your cousins, older people, younger people, how did that flow down?
It was definitely not well accepted because it was not, it's not common, first of all, to see people, like young people, identifying with those cultural icons. I'm part of like the first generation of hip-hop artists in Mexico City. And in general, the spaces to do stuff, to produce, were pretty limited. So somehow, some way, we didn't have any reference to follow and to connect with in order to produce our own thing. And you know, people were pretty skeptical. They were not, definitely not understanding. And at that point, we were not ready to articulate ourselves and defend ourselves culturally, ideologically, or intellectually. So it was pretty hard. We had to, you know, work hard to establish ourselves as an alternative culture. You know, it was pretty problematic and difficult, definitely.
What did it have anything to do with it being like a U.S. import? I mean, something we talk about a lot on the show is that even though a lot of U.S. culture trickles down to places like Mexico, there is kind of a tangible tension between Mexican Americans and Mexicans, like a distrust on both ends. And it's definitely not just Mexicans. It's like all Latin Americans and Latinos. I think it's something no one wants to talk about, right? Because we're supposed to be one unified block. But there are these, yes, cracks. And do you think it had something to do with, like, that's their music and we have our own thing going on?
Yeah, that's true. It was definitely a lack of information, because some people were arguing that it was, that hip hop was a product of American culture, quote unquote American culture, without recognizing the fact that hip hop is a product of a diasporic experience that mixes different elements from all over the world. And some sectors of the alternativity or like the intellectual circles in Mexico were claiming that hip hop was an appropriation of just American culture in general without recognizing that experience, the experience of the marginalized subject, which were these marginalized youths in Mexico and all over the world that were using rap as a way to communicate and express themselves. So it took a minute, definitely, to establish and change that perspective. And even today, like 25 years later, we still battle against that.
Let me follow up with that a little bit. back then, let's say 93, it was primarily, if not totally, an African-American expression. It's not like it is today. How much do you think, if any at all, was that negative reaction? Was it based on race?
Well, it was definitely one of the situations that set the arguments for those guys. Mexican identity was you know, built on top of this idea of the mestizaje and all that thing, and it leaves behind the African experience within our own identity. It's like the hidden, uncomfortable part of history that people doesn't really want to talk about.
Let me say that mestizaje that you're referring to is the mixture of the indigenous races and the colonial European. Spanish races, European races.
Leaving behind the fact that our identity includes definitely a really important component, which is the African element within our identity that it's still hard to talk about today. So I think even when hip-hop is considered to be like a Black American experience, but I think it's just Black experience in general in the context of the United States. So that's kind of like the where the debate starts, you know? I'm more content with the idea of understanding hip-hop as a Black experience that has been nurtured by different other experiences in the context of the United States.
Let's get to some more music.
Boca Floja brought a song that was the first time I heard hip-hop, and it's by Control Machete.
I brought that song just based on the fact that I think that was probably the first time Mexican rap reached a level, certain level of visibility on mainstream media. So that's definitely the first track that reached that level.
This is Comprendes Mendes by Control Machete.
Yes.
Yo soy el control.
Juan, I want to get a little nerdy for a second.
Yes.
About language and syntax. And I say this because sometimes when I hear, for example, blues in Spanish, to me it doesn't work because the syntax is different and, and the way you speak and the way it sounds. When do you think that the influence of African-American hip-hop blanketed Latin America in a sense that the language started to become adaptable to different types of beats and flows and rhythms?
I don't know in general, but in the case of hip-hop, I would say that happened late in the 90s. Yeah, like I think like it took a while for people to figure out the way to use the Spanish syntax and grammar and the way the Spanish language sounds to make it compatible with hip-hop beats, I think. Before, in the beginnings, they were just trying to emulate the flow of African-American rappers and just filling the syllables with Spanish words, and it wasn't working very appropriately. And I think it wasn't until like rappers in Spain and maybe some in Chile in the second half of the 90s started to figure it out. And once the Spanish hip-hop thing exploded in like 98, big kids in all over Latin America, it was like all of a sudden they switched the way they were rapping and they switched the way they were using the language, and all of a sudden they started, like, you know, like I said earlier, using more syllables per line and, you know, using more complex rhyme structures and all that stuff. Like, it took a long time until they could figure it out.
And Felix, that's such a good point. I mean, I think that's one of the things I loved about Control Machete, that, you know, I always say that Mexican slang is like, the insults are so funny and hilarious and good. I mean, it's such a good slang to get angry with. And this is, you know, this song and Control Machete, I don't know, I guess it was the first time I heard a rapper in Spanish sound like where he was from. Like, it sounded like a Mexican guy who was really pissed off.
Yes, but still the flow they were using to rap was borrowed from like Cypress Hill and Chicano rappers from California. It wasn't a very distinctive type of flow that was natural to the Spanish language, I think. I think it took a couple of years more after that.
Now, Juan, I want to take you back to what you were saying earlier, that for a lot of Latin Americans, hip-hop had to go to Spain first. And I love that story because it talks a lot about like cultural trade routes, and it says something very interesting about the cultural relationship between the U.S. and Latin America and Spain.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it that way. I wouldn't say that it went to Spain first. I mean, definitely there was a lot of hip-hop in Latin America before Spain, especially like in Puerto Rico and places like that, in Cuba, where it was isolated and it grew up in its own way, or in Brazil. Like, what happened with Spain was, like, I think it evolved faster because they have more resources and they have more money to spend on it, and record labels, and they could print records and do a lot of stuff that Latin American kids were not able to do in the underground without support from brands and sponsors and stuff. I think the Spanish rappers in the late 90s, like after Club de los Poetas Violentos came out with Madrid Zona Bruta, they kind of like switched the way that people rap in the Spanish language forever. And like, when kids in Latin America start listening to that in like 98, 99, and 2000, like, it totally changed the way people rap in Spanish forever. And without that, we wouldn't have any Calle 13 or anything that happened, Mala Rodriguez, or anything that happened after.
And you brought a song by Violadores del Verso. It's called Máximo Exponente.
Yeah, I think that song is a good exponent of that of what I was trying to exemplify here. It's a song from 1999 that's by many it's considered like the ultimate anthem of Spanish rap in Spain, and verbal dexterity. It's all about like being like, you know, having this superlative control of the language, and it's, you know, it's of course there's a lot of ego trip and macho hardcore attitude, but it influenced a lot of MCs all over the continent, anywhere from Mexico to Argentina.
Mm-hmm. Que no me tiembla la mano si tengo que empuñar un micro y poneros de mierda y de grasa hasta el puto culo. A veces os gano tan solo por beberme un litro y volverme a casa preguntando quién coño es más chulo. Soy un abrazafarolas, un peregrino. Mi antigua novia me dijo, te veo muy desmejorado. Ahora bebo a solas, las penas flotan en el vino. Mañana será otro día igual. Mi canción es triste como una puta ranchera. Quien quiera que sea, el que esté allá arriba, que me escuche. Mi cuerpo no resiste y no hay cerveza en la nevera. Estoy pensando en follarme a mi osito de peluche. No mires o lárgate de aquí si es necesario. No vuelvas a apostar ni un puto duro por mí. Mierda, las lágrimas no tienen horario. ¿A qué venís, putas? ¿A qué venís? Mi cerebro está preparado, soy ágil como una pantera. Duermo con un ojo abierto, tengo enemigos ahí fuera. Oye, tenéis mejores formas de hacer el ridículo. ¿Por qué coño coger un micro, hijos de puta? Dios así lo quiso, soy un experto, no improviso. Moriré de sobredosis si es preciso. Por ser estrella, aviso, si veis mi huella y huele a paraíso, es porque estuve allí ayer. Pero Eva me echó, KCO, tú toma hormonas. A mí y a mis hermanos, ¿qué pasa? Que nos la coma. Soy el amo, cada micro 1000 gramos. Zaragoza, la Jota, un gran plan, tramo.
Desmedida técnica en el micro. Tampoco el mundo es un lugar seguro. Desmedida técnica en el micro. Tampoco el mundo es un lugar seguro. En absoluto. Me muevo por la calle a falta de cámara y acción. Solo el diablo mantiene mi conversación. El pavo los mantiene presos. Yo infecto mentes con mi fiebre. Malas lenguas no merecen besos. Traje el rap del 2000. Ahora tipos andan a imagen y semejanza. Cuando el ingenio se queda pequeño, no basta con poner empeño. Solo el talento consigue el diseño. El sumum define mi ópera. Yo manejo el micro, tú sufres mi cólera. Dejo satisfechos con rimas bien hechas. Porque solo insatisfechos quedan novios de niñas estrechas. Comprenda que nadie se ofenda. Que solo son metáforas para el que no lo entienda. Mi rap no toméis a broma. Es alabado como Mahoma. Tan solo soberbia despide mi aroma. Vivir como un héroe en cada segundo. Difícil asunto, un hacer para salvar el mundo. Un pavo con micrófono es todo. No sé solfeo, solo mantengo el tono a grosso modo. Que tiene Zaragoza en sus entrañas. Algo se quema en España. Rap movió montañas. Solo se trata de nacer con el don. Violadores son, nunca fue uno más del montón.
Lo peor de lo nuestro, que no bailo. Nunca llegaría a ser lo mejor de lo vuestro. Ni soñarlo, gente escucha a la vez que calla cuando parlo. Improvisando borracho, a veces sale algo guapo.
Now, Juan, you brought a song by Mustafa Yoda, El Hombre Bueno que fue al infierno, The Good Man Who Went to Hell.
That's Mustafa Yoda is an Argentinian rapper who, by many in the current scene, they consider him a pioneer. He came out in the scene right around the same time I was active in the scene, back in the second half of the 90s in Buenos Aires. And he was a freestyling pioneer in Argentina when, like, freestyle rap wasn't a particularly popular way of rapping, which is, you know, like the kind of like battles when you make up the rhymes on the go. And he's the one who pioneered that style before it became super popular, that like the way it's now.
El mundo anda entre dos aguas y bajo el paraguas el más viejo habla lenguajes de las rocas de la Aconcagua. Sobre la barca forjada con la palabra sagrada y la fe del que por un diezmo todo lo aguantaba. En el pueblo no sabían nada, pero creían en cada religión que por tener la misma identidad de Dios a otra guerra los mandaba. Aldeas saqueadas, las mujeres que pensaban diferente eran quemadas. Brujas fueron llamadas, gritos, lamentos, llamaradas. Desde siempre importa nada, la vida es rara. De la espada la sangre grita, escúchala con el hambre. La mirada toca cuchara, me decía la anciana culpada de herejía. Sangre fría, el diablo montona lo que Dios cría. Y mientras había esa revolución definía hormigas comunistas trabajando para la monarquía. Escucha al ayer cantando tu futuro que creer. Nacimos campeones, vencimos millones para nacer. La lucha del bien, el mal dentro de cada ser. Las muchas luces como las muchas sombras no deja ver. Escucha al ayer cantando tu futuro que creer. Nacimos campeones, vencimos millones para nacer. La lucha del bien, el mal dentro de cada ser. Mucha luz es como la mucha sombra. Tu lupa
pipa pa' quemar hormiga, la mía pa' estudiarla, las palabras que guardo pa' no ensuciarlas. Las parras se mudecían, el silencio tomaba vida, la tronza arrepentía, su fechoría sonreía. Bajo la luz sombría caía como el atardecer, con su mayor fuerza lo que jamás pudo vencer, lo que al fin pudo tener, la libertad del ayer sin rumbo, solo escapando lo que haga bien. Y el rastro que perdía encontraba la jauría, volvía el día y la cacería aún se veía. En sus ojos el relato, exhausto lo tenía, ahogado de sed en el charco que de él nacía. Desde ese día aún sueña que ella lo besa, bajo promesa, palabra madre, naturaleza. Si bien dejo tu cabeza, que tu amor sea la fuerza, como Dios que nunca llora, un Lucifer que nunca reza.
Procede como Dios, que nunca llora, como Lucifer, que nunca reza.
Escucha la ser cantado tu futuro que creer. Nacimos campeones, vencimos millones para nacer. Lucha del bien, el mal dentro de cada ser. Muchas luces como la mucha sombra lo deja ver. Escucha la ser cantado tu futuro que creer. Nacimos campeones, vencimos millones para nacer. Lucha del bien, el mal dentro de cada ser. Muchas luces como la mucha sombra.
You know, besides, I do want to take you back to that question. I mean, why do you think it's like in countries like Chile is a country I always associate with really good hip hop. Why do you think it took root there?
Well, Chile has a particular the particularity of the Kids of Exiles that brought hip hop after the fall of Pinochet in 1989. And that, I think, was a humongous influence. And like a lot of kids from the Anatishu generation, they all discovered hip-hop abroad while their parents were in exile during the dictatorship throughout the whole 80s decade. And when they came back to Chile in the early 90s, they brought with them the tapes with the most current hip-hop from France and the United States, and that influenced Chilean kids a lot. Like, it spread out super fast in Chile. Like, by the time it was like the year 94 in Chile, they were already recording and releasing albums of serious local hip-hop, which in Argentina didn't happen until like 97 or 98.
Let's continue with some more music. There's a track by Maquisa.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely a track that exemplifies what I was just saying. That's it. Maquisa were like four kids, that the four of them were born in exile during their parents' political exile. And all of them all over the world, in like Anna Tichou, who was the female member of that group, she was born in France. Others were born in or raised in Canada, in Switzerland. And they all met in Chile once their parents were able to come back in the early 90s. And hip-hop was the element that united them, the thing that they all had in common. And La Rosa de los Vientos, that song from 1999, talks about that, talk about being Chilean and being born and raised abroad.
Y si yo he nacido afuera, estoy orgullosa y tengo sangre indígena. Mejor porque es hermoso. hermosa. Soy una trotamundo, sin fijo rumbo me hundo al lugar donde yo tumbo. Así es mi mundo, soy del norte, del sur, del oeste, del este. Una viajera sin paradero, sin nombre, sin carné. Una Ulises sin tierra prometida, he creado mi propia odisea moderna, nene. Se hace el camino al andar caminante, por eso no tengo bandera representante. Da lo mismo mi nombre, lo importante lo que hago. Valorar el hombre por la calidad de su trabajo. Y es que el mundo es tan grande y uno tan pequeño. Solo me dirijo por la rosa de los vientos.
Je viens d'autre latitude, latitude, latitude.
Somos hijos de la rosa de los vientos.
Yo, de la rosa de los vientos.
Somos hijos de la rosa de los vientos.
Yo, de la rosa de los vientos.
Somos hijos de la rosa de los vientos. Somos hijos de la rosa de los vientos.
De niño he seguido el camino de la calle. Tan difícil que me pare como que me calle. Los países donde he vivido han unido su matices para que me caracterice con mi personalidad. Ser una persona de calidad, la calidez de la verdad me para, me prepara para levantar mi ala, me protege como un chaleco antibala. Cala mi alma al mundo en que vivo, pido un minuto para recopilar lo que he vivido, las ciudades en las que he residido, las personas con las cuales he compartido. He sido yo el que he partido, recorrido miles de kilómetros en todos los sentidos. De mi vivencia, mi existencia, encuentro coincidencia. Cuando me preguntan a qué sector represento, respondo que en verdad yo no entiendo el sentimiento de estar ligado a un barrio. Al contrario, que salir de él para no ser marginado. Yo soy ciudadano del planeta Tierra, ser humano que no cree en la frontera. Tanto squad, sencilla, anita, vivieron fuera de igual, hermano. No es porque yo quiera, pero mi lugar es tanto aquí como donde sea. Cuatro puntos cardinales, cuatro cabezas. Verás que la nacionalidad no es la gran cosa, sino más bien girar con el viento como la rosa.
Somos hijos de la rosa de los vientos.
Something that strikes me today with Latin hip hop is, whereas in the US, mainstream hip hop is, you know, the criticism that gets leveled against it is it's very materialistic and it's, you know, cars and things. I personally, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I think that Latin hip hop has really picked up on this social consciousness. It's like social justice music, and I almost feel like it's picked up the torch, you know, where Nueva Trova left off, where, you know, the Victor Jaras and Mercedes Sosas and Silvio Rodriguez left off. You know, Latin hip hop has taken that on, and I don't really hear a lot of Latin hip hop that is about materialism.
I agree. I think definitely the social conditions of existence of inhabitant citizen of Latin America are really different, and hip hop on a more political conscious quote unquote expression are definitely product of that urgency of manifest that type of stuff, and the economic conditions are way different over there, you know. So, but I think nowadays it's like pretty open and diverse.
And we want to give you props for your main objectives in making music, as we understand it, is to always remind people of that social consciousness and to remind people to think about the world that they live in through your music.
Yeah, I mean, I really believe that art has the potential to impact on a collective level. So I'm basically using my music to create, you know, to stimulate critical thinking, basically, you know, more than any other expectation is that, you know, just trying to connect and satisfy more than my own artistic needs, you know, just connect with the community.
That's what attracted me to hip-hop and rap very, very early on, because one of the few rap songs that I can sing along to is the message from Grandmaster Flash way back when. That's how old I am.
No,
right?
Don't do
you know
it.
What I mean?
Don't do it.
Yeah,
don't.
I won't do it. I won't do
don't
it.
Don't push me.
Because yeah, I'm close to the edge. But I mean, but you know, having grown up with Victor Jara, having been a big fan of Ruben Blades and Ruben Blades when, you know, he's making his message music, that's what attracted me to the music. And that's what also attracts me to this great group that we all love, Calle 13.
esto es ya cualquiera le zumbo. Con un cubo de agua fría, con cablería preñada con electricidad viva. Tirar un par de rimas radioactivas, adornar con cafrería pa' que vomiten yautía mezclar con carne molía. Esta rima va dirigida pa' los que tienen la autoestima trepada por el techo, que se creen jodones porque fuman el hecho. Ahí van mis nudillos para la caja el pecho, pa' dejarlos botando quechos por la boca, rota por jugarse la vida loca. Contra mi compa, el visitante y este cantante, el residente haciendo escante. Los dos mezclados le meten más pesado que un elefante. Aquí no hay feca como implante, aquí no hay caca como pamper, aquí no hay peste como en hamper, aquí no hay maleanteo como gangster, aquí no hay sampleo como sampler. Aquí lo que hay es, aquí lo que hay es, en verdad yo no sé lo que hay, pero sé que lo que suelto por el mic baja caliente como pitorro extrae. Yo no soy reggaetón, reggaetona, yo no soy hip hopa, pero te dejo brincando como grasshopa. Te acuerdas como chopa en el dos boca, como canguro mota. Esta es la clara de una Ray True en nu sin ropa. Bien seguro de esta nota, de esta nota, de esta nota, que te sube pa'l techo, que te sube el millaje, el octanaje, pa' que brinques pa'l cielo y cojas viaje. Rapidito, al minuto, como bocadillo calle, voy a ser el más bocón y gritar duro pa' que se oiga hasta en Hong Kong, porque el visitante le metió a la pista como King Kong, como James Bond, como Top Gun, como este. Olvídate, pero le metió demasiado, dejó a todo el mundo sudado, con el sobaco salado. Si no has bailado, el tiempo has desperdiciado.
So Juan, something I did want to ask you guys is who do you think in Latin America just really broke down that wall and made it popular? And something you said is that you told me is that Calle 13 really was a game changer.
Definitely. I think like you have to make the notice that Calle 13 is not a hip hop artist.
Right.
Even though they have like humongous hip hop influences, and definitely like the song that we were just listening, it's like a battle rap, so it's like totally hip hop. But they don't consider themselves hip hop, and people in hip hop, they don't consider them part of their same thing. You know, people who are in hip hop fans, they don't see Calle 13 as this is they're one of us. But I think like from a mainstream point of view, Calle 13 helped break a lot of barriers, in the sense that introduced intelligent rhymes to the mainstream of Latin America, something that Latin American mainstream radio or music in general never experienced before. Before people had this image that, like, people who are not into hip hop, they always had the image that rap was dumb and talking about pandillas and like gold teeth and guns and stuff like that, and they would never give it a chance. You know, people who were into hip hop knew that wasn't the case. Knew there was a lot of like message and intelligence in the lyrics, but it wasn't until Calle 13 broke into the mainstream in 2006 that he kind of like, through the having a message that was more danceable and more catchy to the radios and more musical, he kind of like took that step of introducing like to the common people, to my aunt and to my sister who never listened to hip hop and they would never would, but they are open to listen to Calle 13. And so the idea of like rhyming in Spanish with intelligent lyrics, it became possible, like became accepted by the mainstream thanks to Calle 13.
You know, this is like the tip of the iceberg. Obviously, we cannot possibly cover all of Latin American and Latin hip hop in one show. But I do think that a show like an overview of Latin hip hop would not be complete if we did not talk about Brazil.
For me, like coming from Argentina, I always found fascinating how hip hop in Brazil was a lot more connected to what it means to be African, of African descent. Of course, because Brazil, you have to keep in mind, Brazil has the largest population of black people outside of Nigeria. It's the second country in the world with more black people, basically. And it's in Latin America. When hip-hop came out in Latin America, it kind of came out of a vacuum. It didn't have it wasn't a result of an evolution that all of a sudden people reach hip-hop. Like, people adopted hip-hop all of a sudden in Latin America. Well, in Brazil, it was a next step in the evolution of black music.
Yes.
Something that people were doing, like, before they were doing hip-hop in Brazil, they were doing Brazilian funk, and before they were doing Brazilian soul. So it was kind of like an evolution of what they call blackie music in Brazil, black music. And hip hop came right into that, and in a way that is completely different from the way it appear in Latin America, in Spanish-speaking Latin America.
Okay, let's hear an example of that from Marcelo D2, a hip-hop artist that we've had on the show before. And let's use this music to thank our guests for this great conversation about the influence of U.S. hip-hop in Latin America. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
A procura da batida perfeita. Então corre, a batida é minha. Cheguei primeiro, no ruim faz a fezinha, que é tudo por dinheiro. Solto na Babilônia lá, procura paz. Perder o manual, e agora como faz?
We've been talking to one of our regular contributors, blogger Juan Data.
And we were also joined by Mexican rapper Boca Floja. Not only is Boca Floja a pioneer when it comes to Mexican hip-hop, he is also an activist and an author. His new book is called Prognosis, and it's about colonialism and race relations in Latin America.
We want to remind you that you can hear all the songs that we played on the show today in their entirety on our website at npr.org/altlatino.
And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, where the conversation never ends. We are NPR's Alt Latino.
And we also want to give a special shout out to NPR's Microphone Check. That's put together by our own Franny Kelly and Ali Shahid Mohammed from A Tribe Called Quest. They did a wonderful series last year called 1993, Hip Hop's Golden Year. They also do wonderful interviews, lots of great stuff for hip hop fans there on that website. I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Garst.
This has been Alt Latino.
Porém, há um caso diferente que envolve toda a minha gente. Não ser bucha de ninguém, ficar do lado do bem. Atitude, amor e respeito também. Eu vou no samba, é gente fã. A diferença é clara, a gente fuma e eles fama. Proteja a raiz pra que tenha bons frutos. Já diz o velho ditado, quem tá junto e eu tô junto. E junto carrego meu orgulho, suburbano convicto. Sei meu lugar no mundo, há coisas que o dinheiro não paga. Cê sabe como é, tipo eu e minha preta.
¿Cuál es el ritmo perfecto? ¿Dónde está? No sé. ¿Se existe un beat perfect? ¿Se ve? ¿Se existe? D'accord.
Could this be the perfect beat?